Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell. Show brought to you by the acupuncture Dr. Jack Schaefer, advanced medicine. They're advanced Chinese medicine and chiropractic matter and acupuncture. Oh, good grief. I totally muddled that up. I'm going to owe him a free one. Anyway. Chuck is, speaking of medical things, Chuck is on his way back from a doctor's appointment, so he may be joining us by telephonically here. We'll let you know. But all kinds of stuff to talk about. And I want to say, feel free to weigh in. If you're listening on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself. If you want to go ahead and type it in the chat section, and I can go ahead and read it. If you're calling in, 888-627-6008. A lot of stuff to talk about. And I see Jacob is already on it with the Jeffrey Epstein. We're going to get to Jeffrey Epstein in a minute, but wanted to talk to you about something kind of interesting, actually, frankly, somewhat sort of astonishing on the Colorado Republican Party politics front. You remember last week we talked to Ray Garcia, who has filed a petition to hold a special meeting of the state central committee members to essentially talk about Chair Britta Horn's, what I consider her failed leadership. We're going to be voting on should she stop spending money on things like employees, benefits, health benefits, IRAs, things like that, until she actually starts bringing some money in. Should she quit the vindictive and expensive lawfare attacks on grassroots people? And is there confidence still in her ability to be a leader? Now, so the meeting and we talked about that has been set for December 13th. Interestingly, and I think we broke the news on our show, Vice Chair Richard Holtorf has agreed to chair that meeting if Britta refuses. And so far, Britta is refusing. She's pulling all kinds of continued lawfare stunts to try to postpone having the meeting. So that was interesting enough that Holtorf said, well, he would chair it if she wouldn't. I was wondering what would happen when that got out there publicly. Would Holtorf back off? Well, over the weekend, a couple of things happened. Both of them, I think, very good news for the Colorado Republican Party. Number one, Colorado Politics did a story about it. Ernest Lunning. Ernest Lunning, I think, is a very good reporter. The story was fair. Most of his stories, I would say, are fair. He's one of the reporters, I think, who actually gets how Colorado politics, in particular Republican politics, but Democrats as well, works, right? He doesn't just parrot whatever the source is telling him. He understands how things work. But what I found interesting about this is he works with Colorado politics. Well, Colorado politics is just one of the several Anschutz media industrial complex media organizations. Now, they regularly did hit pieces on Dave Williams, the grassroots chair of the party, when he was chair. But since Britta was elected back in March, there's been virtually crickets from them. The controversies are all still there. The division is all still there. The issues over the opt-out, all still there. The break between the grassroots and the establishment wing of the party, all still there. But you wouldn't have any clue about any of it if you read the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex, because they have ignored it, basically. And every so often they'll do sort of like a little puff piece about Britta. Well, this story, the headline was Colorado Republicans wanted to hold a meeting to, quote, rein in Chair Horn. Well, that was an interesting choice of words. I mean, they could have spun it, you know, extreme Republicans try to hold illegal meeting, blah, blah, blah. But no, it was a straightforward article. But I found the use of the word rein in interesting. And so the number one astonishing thing to me is, for whatever reason, and I think I know the reason, and we'll get to that in a little bit, the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex is kind of abandoning Britta Horn. They could have, like I said, since March, they've been running cover for her. They've been defending her basically by not writing about or talking about or letting anyone know about the problems with her leadership, right? If you would just think everything was hunky-dory. Well, all of a sudden now, that's not their tact anymore. All of a sudden now, they did this big article about it. The other really interesting thing I thought was, now that it became public that Richard Holtorf, who has been on the establishment side, he was one of Britta Horn's persons all along, right? Stood by his decision to go ahead and chair the meeting. And not only did he stand by his decision to chair the meeting, he kind of doubled down on it. What he said to Colorado Politics, rather than not commenting like Britta did, what he said was, yeah, if it's going to be a meeting, as long as their bylaws, telecommittee, credentialing committee, all of that, which they're working on, he said, I will chair it. And then he said, to be honest, well, he didn't say to be honest, he said, I don't believe in all of these shenanigans that Britta is trying to pull with bylaws, like trying to, you know, twist into pretzels bylaw interpretations and things like that. He said, it's clear that the required percentage of the body, the state central committee body, wants to hold this meeting. And he said, I think we should follow the will of the body and hold the meeting. And I see Mark Hampton with Parker Conservatives and the Honey Badger is there. And as always, Mark, if you want, I'd go ahead and invite you to jump in. I was talking about, so go ahead and unmute yourself and throw on your camera if you want. I was talking about astonishing to me that Colorado Politics did a story about the Britta Horn and the meeting that we want to have, that it was a fair story rather than the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex running cover for Britta. They're actually talking about it. And that Holtorf, he not only stood firm, but said, look, I don't think we should be playing games with bylaws that Britta's trying to do. We should just go ahead and hold the meeting. I mean, what's your take on it?
Yeah, you know, I wrote a little piece over the weekend on it, and out of all the political things and strategies she could pull, like, she face planted on this one, man. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I did scan through that Colorado Politics. Yeah, it was pretty fair. But, you know, it's just one of those things that she just keeps digging the hole deeper. And, right, you know, hats off to Richard to say, hey, he would, you know, chair the meeting and do whatever, you know. Great for him. I applaud that. I think I called upon Russ at one point, you know, hey, you got to step up and you're the secretary and say, hey, this is a good, legitimate, petition and we need to move forward. And like I said, what's the worst thing out of those? That's what just kills me out of what's on the docket to get. It isn't even for her removal. It's to slap her hands. Right. It's like, oh, come on. And all I really want to know is I just want to see the legal bill for putting that letter together.
Oh, yeah. Because, okay, if anyone was, so Britta put out a letter explaining in this completely convoluted way why she's not going to have the meeting, right? Yeah. Again, if you're not going to have the meeting, just ignore it, number one. But number two, there's no way she wrote it. And essentially, this is my reading of it is, well, because one of my minions filed a complaint about it after I asked him to, we can't hold the meeting ever. I mean, that was essentially it, which is like, and she goes through all these convoluted things, which is nonsense. And you're right, she didn't write it. But like you said, so here's what they want to talk about. They want to talk about, one, quit spending money that the party doesn't have until you're bringing money in.
Yeah, wow. What a revelation.
Right. Well, that's controversial. Two, quit this vindictive, expensive lawfare attack that's going nowhere at the vote of no confidence. I mean, all of these things... who knows how the vote will eventually come out, but it's like, if you're Britta, you've got nothing to lose by doing this. But I see this, Mark, as, I mean, you know, we've seen her first vice chair, her treasurer, her parliamentarian, the bylaws person, Nancy Pelosi, and now it appears the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex and Richard Holtorf to a certain extent, at sort of abandoning her, saying, you know, I mean, if I'm Britta, these are not good signs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the big things is if you take a look at the votes, you know, when we've looked at those pretty closely, especially at the last SEC meeting, the one piece I think is really abandoning her is the elected officials. And without the elected officials, she doesn't have the votes, really. Well, it really gets into, obviously, it's at least more 50-50. Kind of. Yes. But if they all abandon her, like from the tribal drums I'm hearing, is they want to stay as far away from this as possible, that they're not going to show up for the meeting. So they're not going to have her. Those votes aren't going to be there. It's actually going to be SEC. A majority of the SEC members, probably, I would think maybe about 25% of the elected officials show up.
Well,
but at the end of the day, it isn't going to be like all of them are showing up and rallying to her to help her.
No.
They're going to say, you know, I don't want this stink on me.
Well, and not only that, it's what we're hearing from people who would be in what I would consider her sort of political inner circle is there are several things that are wrong. I mean, number one, I think it is her leadership style, which appears to be don't listen to anyone, and everybody only can do what I say, and I'll reach out to you, and if I'm not reaching out to you and telling you what to say, then I don't want to hear from you. And from what I gather, that's how she pretty much treats everybody. And then the other thing is again, there's no money coming in.
Right.
So, and then the way she handled this last election, even, Mandy Connell, like a chief Rhino cheerleader, was like, she didn't even, Britta didn't even put out like an election guide. So I think that they were so wanting to get rid of just the grassroots that all of a sudden now they're like, hey, wait a minute, we have just this, the party is completely falling apart under her so-called unity leadership. And I think, yeah, like you said, the elected officials, so they don't want to, we haven't heard anything from them about this. They
No.
don't want to go near this. And I think a lot of people who maybe were sort of just anti-Dave Williams, so they voted for her, I think anymore are looking at that and saying, hey, this isn't working for the party.
No, and it's not. And the longer it goes on, the worse it's going to be. And I was once again, I call for it, says, do the honorable thing. Just step down. Why would you want to personally go through this kind of trash on a day in and day out business? Just say, hey, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of here. You guys elect who you want. It's been fun, but
Yeah,
not real
or
fun.
not fun. Fun.
Yeah, not,
Fun or
but.
not that fun,
But
but
yeah, but.
was from what I could tell, part of the problem was she had no vision except spending a ton of money handing it out to her friends, right? I mean, that Nancy Pelosi, I mean, we've seen, for instance, Heidi Gnall, I'm sure with her Rocky Mountain voice wanted a piece of the money. And when it became apparent to everybody that there was no money to be doled out, then all of a sudden they fled. And now she's got a personal attorney, Clenda, who has hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal bills. I guess he's kind of stuck there. Otherwise, he doesn't get paid either. But I think you're right. She should resign. And, I think, like you said, kudos to Holtorf, which, believe me, we have never been giant Richard Holtorf fans. But I think in this, he has been a voice of reason, he's been open-minded. And I really like what he had to say. He's like, let's not play games. He said they have the signatures on the petition. Let's not be changing forms or arguing this or that. Let's just hold the meeting and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, and Richard and I've had our share of differences too. And that's one of the things that Richard and I've always said, we've always talked. We may have our differences, but he'll give me a call and say, Mark, we need to talk about this.
Yes.
And that's fine. I applaud people that take the time to do something like that. So there's a that so there's a little bit of sanity in there having him, go here.
Right.
So we'll have to wait to see what happens. I'm not real hopeful that she's going to do anything that's going to help our party at this point. Not having an election guide and just doing a little video and go, get out there and vote.
Right, right.
Really?
No,
Really?
yeah.
That was so bad. It was
Well,
like you
I
just
mean,
shouldn't have done anything. And at least you could have just said, well, I wasn't didn't have anything to do.
anything to do well, yeah. And I think again, we've heard that certain people still involved with the party, there's no money for them to travel, there's no money to do anything. And again, people who I think what I think it goes back to what you said about when Richard would say to you, hey, at least we'll talk. From what I understand, Britta refuses to even talk. There have been several
That's what
over
I've heard.
Yes, several overtures made to her by various factions within the party saying, hey, let's talk, let's see what we can figure out here. And she won't even return phone calls. Right? She
Yeah.
doesn't even do that. And so, if I would say, hey, if Richard is at least willing to listen, because Britta's just been a disaster, and it's only going to hurt the party going forward and hurt donors and hurt everything, I think.
Yeah, you kind of look at the worldview, and even dictators at some point get the jet that flies in the middle of the night and scoots them off to Moscow or wherever they go to take their money and go. That's kind of what needs to happen. Even just anything in the middle of the night, send an email to all of us that says, I resign. Just and it doesn't have to be a long time. Just put I resign, Britta. I'm good with that. That's something else.
Reminded her, said Nancy Pelosi's just like, I've resigned, right?
Yeah, exactly. Make it easy. Don't worry about it. Do it in the middle of the night.
Right.
It's okay.
And you look at the one thing. So there haven't been, I guess she's still doing the Capitol luncheon, but there haven't been any of sort of the traditional Republican fundraisers that people do. The counties are, I think, in complete disarray. One of the biggest things, I think, a biggest failure is we have an assembly coming up in March, right? And I know because, you know, when Anna and Dave and those guys, they were getting places nailed down by now. It's hard to find a place that can hold that many people, you know, for as cheap as we want to get it. I don't know that Britta has the money to hold an assembly. I don't know that the caucus and precinct people are like, they have no direction, no idea. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and they're worried about it too. It's like she needs to be gearing up for things that are coming up within a few months. And nothing. And as far as again, as far as we know, there is all her money is going to her personal attorney. There isn't any money for any of these other things.
Yeah, see, the whole assembly should have been hit on day one of the election. And actually, if this was a well-organized machine, the former chair would actually have had everything, but with everything going on with Dave, and I'm not throwing Dave under the way, but I'm just talking from a business aspect. You shouldn't have to do this on your watch. It should be actually because of the timing on it. And I've done conferences up to 10, 12, 15,000 people myself, and these are venues that you got to book a year in advance and get all this stuff again, and you kind of just hand it off. Okay, hey, here's everything I got. The venue's all done. Here's everything. Here's the playbook. You guys take it from here, because then that chair is going to have to do the same thing. So therefore, you're always working ahead to do these things and not working in the vacuum or just trying to do the scramble, which they're going to really be doing, because you know that's was is hard. You know, the one with KBB where we did it down there in Colorado Springs. You know, a lot of flack was taken there because a lot of people who carry couldn't take their sidearms in, you know, and that was so to find a place where we can carry that can hold it. I thought, you know, I was a little skeptical of Pueblo when I first went at first, but you know, they got all those brand new hotels down there that aren't that far from. I mean, the
When you
hotel
head into
was
the state
beautiful.
fairgrounds, I mean,
Yeah, the fairgrounds. I was a little skeptical when they told me the fairgrounds. I was like, really? But you know, he got that
it
all
went.
pulled together and it went
I
really
think so
well.
too. And they did some hand counting. And I think she's got, I mean, look at all the things she's got to deal with. It's like, because, and that's a controversy within the party she's going to have to deal with. How are we going to do the counting? Who's going to do the credentialing? I mean, her credentialing people are quitting. I think there are so many people that don't want to work with her. And as you said, it should have simply been rather than saying, no, I hate Dave Williams. I'm never going to talk to him. I have Dave derangement syndrome. She could have called up and said, hey, how did you guys do it? Who was your contact? You know, what were the, th who was,
Exactly.
how was it done? I mean, like you said, it shouldn't be reinventing the wheel every time. So,
No.
and I think that's one of the big concerns, like Ray said, it's like this needs to be settled now. And, you know, so we'll see. Theoretically, I think she's having an SEC meeting this week to talk about the supposed controversy that her minion brought up. But I mean, we don't know who knows about that, too. She keeps changing the date on that. So, I agree with Richard. You know, drop the shenanigans about it, hold the meeting, or better yet, even just say, hey, guess what, guys? You know, we don't even have to have a meeting. I agree. I'm going to drop the lawsuit. I guess if you want to hold the vote of no confidence, I agree. I will quit spending money, you know, and here's my plan for the assembly. Then we wouldn't
Yeah.
need a vote of no confidence, right?
Right. And just, I mean, if she was just handling it like a leader would handle it, even a leader under stress, because believe me, we've come into companies where we've bought them in my career, and you're coming in and we bought some big companies, man. And you're, they sent me in. It was like, I'm the only corporate guy, new corporate guy, man. And you got, I'm in a room full of people that all want to kill you because you just bought their company. They think they're all losing their job, right? And it doesn't have to be like that. It can be businesslike. It can be what it just nice. It doesn't need to be like this. And it just cracks me up, you
She's a
know. And I
complete
know I'm controversial
professional.
that, you know, they did say I'm not a very nice guy, but you know, I have people say things to me about me all the time. It just happened the other night at a DC GOP meeting. And I just let it roll off my back. I was just like, somebody says, I don't care what they say. You
No,
know,
yeah.
why? It's
Well,
not
and
like they're coming to my house to have dinner tomorrow. I
well,
don't.
and here's the thing too. It's like if you're going to put, I learned this years ago in the TV industry, right? It's like you put yourself out there on TV every day, or you're on talk radio, or you do whatever. You put yourself out there in the public eye. The public is going to comment, and
Oh,
guess what?
yeah.
Lots of them may not like the way you look. They may not like your hair. They may not like what you say. Or same with Britta, right? I mean, don't run for chair if you don't, if you don't want to, if you don't want to have, because you know there's controversy coming in. Don't run for chair if you don't actually have a plan to deal with it. Well, so what do you think? I mean, what's your prediction? I mean,
I
I'm.
think I don't I think the only way that she goes is for full removal, because anybody that was really had the party in mind in their heart, probably would have already done some soul searching and maybe already sat down. But now at this point, if she's trying to twist the pretzel the way it looks like now, I think she's in it for the long haul, and she's saying, we're going to have to drag her out.
But I just don't see, I don't know where her support is anymore. Again, I've been surprised at some of the people who have been willing to reach out, or at least, how do I say it, when reached out to, have been willing to say, we need to talk. We need to save the party. We can't keep going like this. Britta is refusing to participate in any kind of discussions about anything. And we can't have this stand. And like I said, I think it is interesting. The Anschutz Media Industrial Complex, they could have ignored this. And I read a certain amount into it that they did not ignore it and decided to do something on it. So,
Yeah,
you know.
it's, I think, trying to get a little bit more, publicity on it, maybe bring up the heat on her.
Yeah.
We'll see what Kyle Clark does, because he usually jumps in after something like this a little sometimes to see what, if he's going to turn up the heat or at least make it even more public.
Yes.
It just didn't need to be this way. There's a lot of, and I'm sure, down deep, she's probably a really nice person. But one of the things as a leader, you got to come in with a plan and you got to execute to the plan. That's why you're elected, to do what you're to do. That is your role.
Right.
And if you can't do that, as she has shown, then the only honorable thing is to sit back and say, hey, I haven't been able to do what I was elected to do, and for the betterment of the party,
Of the party. Yeah, I'm gonna sit down.
I need to step aside because I'm not able to do what I'm supposed to do.
Let me throw one conspiracy theory at you and then I'll let you go. One of the things I was thinking is, as we all know, one of the main divisions within the Republican Party is between the people who are for the opting out of the open primary, like me, like you, and then people who are opposed to that, like the establishment people, because they like pay to play politics. What I'm wondering is if at that some level, again, this whole Anschutz donor class, I keep thinking their ultimate goal here, because they write about it and they're pushing it, is to have a jungle primary.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if they're like, hey, we're not even worried about the opt-out anymore because we're going to get on the ballot ASAP, a jungle primary initiative. So things like opting out becomes moot. And so I'm wondering if that may be their strategy, that at a certain level that they don't even want to fight about this anymore because it's a fight that they're going to quash in a different way. What do you
Yeah,
think?
and from a conspiracy theory in me, I think Britta's part of the plan. I
Yes.
think having this thing crashing, if we take a look at all the different things that are, especially the bill, John Fielding dropping out because of the liability with ADA. And
The
let
caucuses.
me tell you, Julia, I haven't told you this. Over the course of my career, I've been in at least 20 plus ADA lawsuits.
Wow.
And let me tell you, and I've had lawsuits from 60,000 to well over 500,000
Wow.
with attorney's fees. They're just nasty,
Yeah.
because the attorneys that take those, they are true ambulance chasers. All they care about is
Oh,
getting
that's right.
paid.
That's what they do. Exactly. They file the frivolous.
All they care about, they don't care if they can get $10,000 or $100,000. They just want paid, and they will extract that one way or the other. But I think it's all part of that, because if we can't have our state assembly, it basically collapses in on itself, right? They just say, we just don't have a party anymore. So
Right.
this is the only thing we can do, because the Republicans can't obviously manage anything. So the solution, we're going to ride to the rescue and
Either.
we're going to deliver on about jungle primaries. And guess what? Then we won't have to worry about these people anymore. We're happy. Us billionaires saved you again.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that you are right that Britta, and maybe she's accomplishing it far, far,
Better than no, they ought.
Better than they thought she would, but I kind of think you're right there too. Hey, well, listen, hey, let me ask you
Okay.
now. I know you got
Sure.
a giant Christmas Parker Conservatives meeting coming up. You want to tell
Yeah.
folks about that?
Yeah, December 3rd, and we're going to have our Parker Conservatives meeting. It's our holiday meeting. We got George Market, who is the running for U.S. Senate. We have Tom Trancato is going to come. We always draw a big crowd when Tom comes. We really like him. And then we have Pastor Brian Fields is going to come. He's runs a local Castle Rock Grace Chapel Church and is very good conservative. So we have three very good speakers, but one of the big things that we do is we take toys, coats and gloves for the kids in Parker that don't have as earn as fortunate as others and also in Douglas County, just not Parker. And then we partner with a place called the Coffee Cabin here in Parker. They're always in the news sometime. They're very conservative, so they get
Right.
protests all the time out in front of their building. So we help support them. We take all the toys. They get a big trailer. We pack the trailer and they take it to some of the homeless shelters and places like that where the kids need some help. So I encourage everybody to come out. We'll put the flyers out several times on social media, but please come on by. It's a good time. You know, my open mic night, we probably had 150 people for my
Wow.
open mic night. It was pretty hilarious. Jeff Hunt was there trying some new material. He's pretty funny when he
He is
talks.
funny.
But we had a lot of the gubernatorial candidates, one after the other after the other. But Barbara Kirkmeyer didn't come, and I was, shoot, that really hurt my feelings.
Oh, there's a shocker. There's a shocker. All right. Hey,
All
Mark,
right,
thank
Julie.
you. And appreciate everything you do. Thank you. Mark
All right,
Hansen
to
here. Let me see. We've got Texas. Okay. Okay. Wanted to talk, Jacob. Well, I guess we could just jump to the Epstein thing, because that was something that was on my plate to talk about. And Thomas, just going to give you a heads up, I'm going to do the video out of order that it gave you. But Jacob had written talking about, whoops, stuff you heard about this week. Jeffrey Epstein was convicted June 30th, 2008. When he pled guilty to two state charges in Florida, part of that whole controversial plea deal, one count of solicitation of a prostitute, one count of solicitation of prostitution from a minor under the age of 18. Yet in 2010, Katie Couric didn't know about the crimes that he committed. Mary Kay has canceled the $3 million offer to Mondami's wife for a modeling contract. Oh, after test offers, audiences wholly rejected her. You mean like Mary Kay Cosmetic? But wanted to talk about the Epstein thing. I think that Trump wisely, and if you disagree, feel free to weigh in, but Trump wisely sort of pivoted on this and then went ahead and called the Democrats bluff, right? The Democrats have been making hay with this whole Epstein thing. Republicans like Massey and sort of the, Ron DeSantis-y or Ted Cruz, whichever you want to go there, side of the party, the non-MAGA side, have been making hay with this. I think it's kind of funny. They released some, and then then Republicans last week said, okay, well, that's have a vote. That just released everything right now, and the Democrats blocked it. But Jacob, you kind of hit on what we've seen so far is there's far more damaging stuff in there to the Democrats than to the Republicans. Like you said, Katie Couric, all of these people. I mean, you go through the emails, and there's plenty of places that do a good analysis of it. The ones that have been released so far, it's clear that all kinds of people, including Obama administration people and Obama advisors, were well aware of Jeffrey Epstein's problems because they were still having conversations with him, visiting him at his house, asking him for advice after he was released on all of these criminal charges, right? So they clearly knew about it and they didn't care. Jeffrey Epstein was clearly a fixer for the Democrats, one way, shape, or form. He clearly hated Donald Trump. We now know that Jeffrey Epstein is texting Democrat congressional people during anti-Trump congressional hearings, telling them what questions to ask, right? He's feeding, people who are going to interview Trump questions on how to sink Trump, which were fake questions. I mean, so the Democrats have twisted it all. So I am glad, for one, that I think it should be released anyway. They should have just released it all. I don't for a second. The victims have said they want it released. I think it's kind of fun now that Trump has said, oh, we're going to go ahead and open up a Department of Justice investigation into the Democrats and all of the Epstein stuff. Now, I hope they don't use that as an excuse to not release it. wouldn't put it past me to have the Democrats say, oh, we can't release it now because of the investigation. But here's a Biden. I kind of agree with this guy. This was a GOP strategist on CNN, Malik Abdul. If we could please play the Epstein soundbite, Thomas.
No, I don't think that this is a lame duck moment at all. I think that Donald Trump ended up in the right place because his position was really, it wasn't a sustainable position. And I would probably argue that Susie Wiles had something to do with it, him just coming out and saying that the inevitable vote that will happen, Republicans should go ahead and support it. But I think what the frustration that Donald Trump and many people, even like me, who've been critical of Donald Trump at times, we realize that this is an effort, this whole Epstein effort is an effort to really prosecute Donald Trump in the court of public opinion. There is not a single shred of evidence that links Donald Trump to a single crime. Not a victim, not a court case links Donald Trump to a crime. And I know that the media itself is aware of that. But the more you keep talking about it over and over again, linking Donald Trump to something potentially nefarious, that actually gets the news cycle going. But everyone knows that there is no evidence that Donald Trump has committed a crime. But I am glad that he ended up in this same space.
Well, and I'll go take it further. Not only is there no evidence that he committed a crime, there's evidence to the contrary. Everybody from lawyers involved in it to people, to Bill Barr, who wasn't looking into it, to the victim herself, Victoria, all have said, no, Donald Trump never did anything. It wasn't like there's no evidence. It's evidence that he didn't do anything, right? They all have said this. And yeah, Jacob, you're again, MSNBC, Psaki corrects herself after accidentally referring to Trump as a predator. You know, I think you've got him all scared too. He's like, you want a lawsuit again? Should we talk ABC, CBS, BBC, you know, Jen Psaki, MSNBC now? But the thing that is kind of, I would say it's frustrating, but I've gotten used to it is, so people like MSNBC, or I guess they're not MSNBC anymore, they're MS Now anymore. MS Now that no one watches us. They're going to keep putting it out there. They're going to keep putting the lies out there, just like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop, just like they did with the Russia hoax, just like they've done with so many other things. Like when he made the comment that they lied about what he said about generals in the rain, all of that stuff. And they never correct it. And the people who listen to that, I mean, I'm sure they still think that, you know, Trump is a Russian spy. They still think the Hunter Biden laptop story is, you know, is a Russia disinformation. They still think that the January 6th pipe bomber wanted to blow up Kamala Harris. I mean, all of these things that they still believe. And that's because on that side, it's a belief. It's like a cult kind of thing, right? It doesn't matter what the facts are. They believe it. And they're going to continue to believe it, but the rest of it's going to come out. It's going to make the Democrats look bad. And my guess is the Democrats will pivot again. I mean, it came out now because they look bad over the shutdown. This is going to come out. They're going to look bad there. And all of a sudden, we're all going to be going on to some other bright, shiny object in the media. But, you know, I think Donald Trump is right. There are Republicans who are allowing themselves to be manipulated by it. The Democrats are clearly manipulated. So just let it out there. And then again, from Jacob, you're all over this. I'm hearing that a lot of money coming from Texas into Florida. Florida went to the Mondami campaign. Maybe contributors of these states are investing into people moving from New York City to Texas and Florida. That's pretty funny. it's like, I know that's the best kind of way to boost the economy in your state is to get a guy elected in New York. Speaking though of people who are being manipulated, this whole Marjorie Taylor Greene Trump fight. You know, I heard Marjorie Taylor Greene speak. Vicky Tompkins had her at the El Paso County, I think it was Lincoln Day dinner a few years ago. And I was impressed, right? Because she'd been portrayed in the media as a kook. And when you listen to her talk, she was intelligent and bright and engaging. And she clearly had her stuff and she clearly had a plan and a vision. And I was impressed with her, right? But I'm not sure what's going on with her lately. And I'm not sure what she hopes to gain in this fight with Donald Trump. I mean, she's been going on all of these shows, endearing herself to the liberal media, which, of course, is never going to embrace her, right? They're just going to use her and then toss her to the side. She's pissed off Donald Trump. And in the meantime, I don't know what it is she thinks she's going to gain. But here she was on MSNBC, of all places. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Marjorie soundbite.
him and his administration, and I support them in delivering the campaign promises we made to the American people. His remarks, of course, have been hurtful. However, I have something in my heart that I think is incredibly important for our country, and that is to end the toxic fighting in politics. And this has been going on for years, and it has divided our country, split up friends and families, neighbors, and it's not solving our problems. The most hurtful thing he said, which is absolutely untrue, is he called me a traitor.
First of all, anytime a politician says, you know, I'm following something in my heart, number one, you know that's not true. And what changed? I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene, like I said, I've liked her, but you would certainly have not called her, you know, one of the leading candidates for the Congressional Peace Prize, right? And all of a sudden now she's opposed to, you know, what she calls toxic, you know, atmospheres in politics. It's like, you know, I don't know. And Trump, in his typical Trump, I mean, you do not want to go to war against this guy because he's just fast. Because listen, here's what he said. Somebody asked him about it, and here's what he had to say. So, Thomas, if we could please play, and this is a quick one, please play the Trump soundbite.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think her life is in danger. I don't think, frankly, I don't think anybody cares about her. Okay, what about you?
I think it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that was in response to her saying, oh, Donald Trump, by being mean to me, is putting my life in danger. It's like, I don't know what's happened to her. But Scott Jennings on CNN had, I think, some interesting insight into what started this fuel. And he references a poll that apparently she was thinking about running for Senate or governor or something like that. And so the Trump administration sent her a poll that said, hey, look, we're just pointing out that you're polling like at 12%. Do not be doing this, right? You're not going to win some kind of statewide thing here. So now if we could please play the Scott Jennings soundbite, Thomas.
When they sent her that poll, that's when you start to see everything change. She opposed the president on his Middle East policy, attacking the Houthi rebels, attacking Iran. She's opposed the president on deportations this summer. So she has sort of become a policy opponent of the president, but I think it really all started with that political engagement. And now, you know, she's one of his most frequent critics on some of what I would argue has been his biggest successes this year. And, you know, if you want to count yourself as an ally of the president of the United States, it's not great to go out and or run out to The View and other places and crap on him 24 hours a day. I mean, that's essentially what she's become. It's a well-worn path. A lot of other Republicans who've turned on the president have done that, too.
And that's the thing. I don't know what she thinks she's going to gain there. You know, and I don't know why she seems to be doing just fine in Congress. I don't know why. I mean, I think it doesn't take, I don't know, a polling genius to see where Marjorie Taylor Greene might do really well in a congressional district, but in a statewide contest might not fare. And again, if the polling is 12%, why is she taking that out on Donald Trump? You know, why, to me, that would be the kind of thing you'd want to turn around and be allies with the president. So I don't know. But as he said, he's not the first. Interestingly, what's shaping up kind of now is Ted Cruz was on somebody. And they were asking him, and I can't believe I can't remember it now, but my brain is dead. They were asking him because there's noise being made about he may try to run for president, right? And he didn't squash those rumors. Instead, it was like blah, 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 blah. So you do see starting to shape up, and this is politics, so it's not like it's a shocker. You're seeing starting to shape up. You got the MAGA people, right, which would be your J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, I think Marco Rubio. And then on the other side, you got Ron DeSantis. You got Ted Cruz gearing up. Donald Trump was funny. Somebody asked him, I should have pulled that bite, about Ted Cruz running. And he goes, well, Ted Cruz ran before. And look, here I am in the White House or in the Oval Office. But then he said, hey, Ted's a nice guy. He said, I like Ted. You know, it's a little early. We're 3 years out. And I think Donald Trump is good. He's not going to get drawn into that. But I do think, you know, you're going to see a ton of people positioning themselves to run for president. And I think that's why you're seeing this whole sort of split in the MAGA thing, right? Where, you know, Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and all of this sort of infighting and the tariffs here, the tariffs there. And it goes beyond, I mean, you shouldn't have to expect to agree with President Trump and his policies and the things he does 100% of the time. But what happens is any slight disagreement gets taken and blown completely out of proportion. And then you have these two sides. And of course, in the Democrats and political, like, oh, MAGA split, MAGA civil war. But I think all of that is sort of a precursor to the presidential thing. And everybody is starting to position themselves. And we all know, I think a lot of the big money people, you know, Americans for Prosperity, places like that, are just kind of waiting Trump out, right? I think a lot of Democrats are too. And if you're Ted Cruz, it's like, yeah, let's go along to get along, which is at least for right now, which is why Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm not sure what she thinks she's going to gain by that. You know, people aren't going to suddenly say, oh, we don't like Donald Trump because Marjorie Taylor Greene went on The View and told us that you know, he's divisive. And I don't think that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's fooling herself if she thinks that anybody from The View is suddenly going to like her. Okay, and here again. Oh, Jacob, yeah, you hit it on the head too. Weak polling, that with the Marjorie Taylor Greene. And then he says, remember this, 2 years after George W. Bush won a closely fought presidential contest, the midterm elections held on this day in 2002 saw the Republicans defying historical norms, gaining 2 Senate seats and 8 House seats. But Democrats managed to score a net gain of 3 governorships, reducing the GOP total from 27 states to 24. It was only the third time since the Civil War that the president's party gained seats in a midterm election. The other 2 came in 1934 and 1998, and the first time this occurred with a Republican in the White House. Yeah, I think the Trump people have realized. And again, particularly if you're, you know, somebody who's positioning yourself to run for president in the next election, right now, what people care about is the economy. I think the media fuels this perception that everything is totally sucky. But on the other hand, the president has to deal with that. And I think from what we've seen, they've indicated, okay, we got that message. Now, can they do that in the midterms? I don't know. I think that this is just my gut feeling. That when Republicans, you know, we'll talk about, you know, like the progressives and they're all socialists and things like that. I don't think that bothers people on the Democrat side as much as it used to. It used to be if you called somebody a socialist or a communist, that was bad. Well, now they're getting elected like Mondami on the basis of being a socialist. So I think the Republicans, that's where you got to hammer home the economy and point out that under socialism, the economy does not do well. It sounds great, but it doesn't do well. But I don't know. All of that, one thing we do know, it's coming up faster than we could even imagine. One other thing I wanted to talk about before we kind of wrap up. So Advance Colorado, which is, again, Phil Anschutz's, it's his ballot initiative arm, right? I think Phil Anschutz, the main Republican donor in Colorado, and everybody else follows him, he's like the Pied Piper, is not contributing a lot to candidates right now. He's contributing to ballot initiatives, because if you can get a ballot initiative on the ballot, you force the Democrats in the legislature and in the governor's office to negotiate with you, because they don't want your ballot initiative. They want to come to some sort of compromise. Well, Advance Colorado has a slew of ballot initiatives that are going to be coming up on the next ballot. Some of them have to do with natural gas. Some of them have to do with taxes. Probably I agree with almost all of them. But keep in mind, it's a tactic. And one that I found interesting is they had a thing came out. They're going to have a news conference Thursday. George Brocker is going to be there, who I like. Barb Kirkmeyer is going to be there, who I don't like. But it's going to be an anti-fentanyl ballot initiative. And from what I can figure out, I think it has to do with increasing criminal penalties and the possible sentencing for fentanyl. But I see that, and that the people have learned how to manipulate the ballot initiative system in Colorado. If you've got a bunch of sort of boring property tax, jungle primary, controversial ballot initiatives that you want to, what you have, the other thing you want to do is run some that are going to help get the voter turnout, right? And who is, and with the anti-fentanyl, that could be a real emotional grabber. I mean, I can just see all the news conferences now, the people telling their stories of how it hurt their families and things like that. I mean, who would be pro-fentanyl, right? So, well, I think that's good. Always, I think, keep in mind, is there a hidden motive? Granted, it's good to be against fentanyl, but is there a hidden motive in some of these more emotional ballot initiatives that they're using to drum up the turnout that they think will support their other ballot initiatives that are largely designed not just take care of you and me, but to take care of the billionaires in Colorado, like Mark Hampton said, who will then come in and say, we saved you all. That's going to do it. And Jacob, we got one more thing that we'll read. Okay. And the moderates and the far left and the Democrat Party are having a civil war. Exactly. Yet it's the older moderates that contribute money to the party. Also, Hakeem will be primary next year. And how could, you know, he's pretty progressive when you look at it. Interesting times, at least. That will do it for us. Chuck will be back on Wednesday. We'll let you know he had cataract surgery, so we had to go for a follow-up appointment there. But otherwise, everybody have a great day. We will see you on Party Wednesday.